It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azure Talon? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
I think we've talked about this before, but where are you on raised eyebrows and lip curls?
Where am I?
Yeah, for example, I can arch my left eyebrow. See? I can arch it.
I think I can arch my left one.
I can't do my right one.
I mean, I think I can if I really think about it and concentrate.
I can legit have to hold, and I still can't do it. I can't do it at all. Meanwhile, I can do like the Elvis lip curl on my right side. But I can't do it on another side.
Yeah, I think I can do both. At all. But it's easier on my left side.
I just can't do it like that. I thought it looked like I try and do it on my left side. And this, yeah, I mean, that's a great eyebrow arch. But this side, nothing. All right, so gotta be honest. These aren't my eyebrows. No. Amazon's pretty evil. Like, as a company, they're not great. And I understand this. And a lot of bad stuff associated with them. And we try and ease back as much as we can and only sort of buy stuff when we need to and things like that. But recently, I needed some stuff. I couldn't come up with a better place. And I forgot the pure, selfish joy of consumerism on Amazon. I went on Amazon. I spent maybe 10 minutes. I spent just over $30, for which I got a compact Bluetooth keyboard with backlighting in multiple colors, programmable, so that I could connect it to my PlayStation so I could type in Final Fantasy, and 5 very attractive full sets of D&D style dice, including a little bag for each, and it was delivered to my house the next day. It was awesome. And I feel a little guilty, but it was awesome. Yeah, see, look, a little keyboard. It's so cute. But it's just Bluetooth, not even a dongle or nothing. I just told the PlayStation, and so now I can type in the thing. It's pretty cool.
Okay.
That was all I had for cold open. I ain't got it. It's busy. I don't know. I can't be doing business like this. Yeah. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Magical Talking Hat Podcast. The only podcast in the world to be voted Butchest Mommy Blog of 2013, according to Forbes magazine. In case you're wondering, yes, we haven't even been nominated since. And no, we're not upset about it. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 572. I think. I'm pretty sure.
I agree, so we're probably right.
Okay.
It would be hilarious if we both were like solidly on the same number and not even close.
And completely wrong, yeah.
And we enter the month of our 11th anniversary.
Yep.
So soon we will start our 12th year of this nonsense.
That is correct.
Of this mommy blog.
Yep.
For those of you just joining us, we're a mommy blog. No. We have a hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. People, great people, not enough people, but some people, more people, please. Right into that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. with whatever the crap they want. Some questions, some topics, some manifestos, some screeds, some shower thoughts, you know, some pictures, which is confusing, but whatever. And the hat forwards them to us. We read them, talk about them. That's the show, except when it's not. I really haven't got a snappy version since the format change. Gonna have to work on that, except I don't do that. I was watching something the other day and I was like, should we start editing? People look cooler when they edit. And I'm like, eh. But I did watch somebody who like was doing movie reviews on their channel, and it was a particular one I was interested in, so YouTube threw it at me. But like, it had been out for like 5 months and it had 600 views. So I mean, that would crush us, but like in YouTube world, that's nothing. And I watched them and I'm like, yeah, they really suck at this. But it's hard to tell because they know how to edit, and so they'll stick in little things and cut in right places. And I was like, yeah, that's a big selling point, which we don't have, but takes effort. Can't be doing that. So how's your week been, young man?
We saw the Spider-Man movie, Spider-Man.
Oh yeah. You're probably getting COVID. I forgot. Yes.
No way home.
First it was Homecoming, and then it was Far From Home, and now it's no way Jose home. How was it?
A little multiculturalism in your comment there. That's nice.
Trish's family grew up saying, no way, Hosey. Which I like. In my family, we got caught up in Jose versus Jose B, which I don't know what that's about. But it reminded me. So I was watching a video recently in which somebody started singing Sweet Adeline. You know, Sweet Adeline. But they were singing it like real projecting and real slow and with a really deep voice. So they sang Sweet Adeline, those words, twice. And the first time, I swear I heard them say, Cuidado Lime. Cuidado meaning the Spanish word for watch out, or, you know, warning, danger. And then lime, like the fruit. And I'm trying to turn this into some sort of multicultural citrus-based superhero. Look, it's Cuidado Lime!
Oh.
I kind of like it, so we'll have to see. It could just be a band name. I don't know, but I enjoy it. And I guess it's a stopgap episode title if we don't come up with anything better.
Sure.
Cuidado Lime. All right, sorry. So you saw Spider-Man No Limes from Home.
Abby seemed to like it quite a bit. I thought it was fine. I mean, I think the whole trilogy's, you know, reasonably good. I guess I don't know if it's a movie that you just absolutely have to see in the theater, but it's, I mean, you know, there's a lot of big scenes in it, big set pieces. So probably if you're at all inclined to see a superhero movie of any kind, and especially if you're inclined to see a Spider-Man movie, you should probably go see it in the theater if you can. And if you're not, if you don't, you know, have any kind of issues with the whole, you know, being out in public thing.
Are you trying to imply I have warrants out on me? It can't be. What one for Spider-Man, please? What, a child or adult? I can't tell you. That's too much specific information.
Are you gonna? So you're gonna wait to see it when it's streaming?
Yeah, in theory, this month it'll be. Yeah. This Spider-Man has been cool in that I have actually liked the movies as opposed to all the Spider-Man before. So
you didn't like the Tobey Maguire ones?
I mean, I kind of did at the time, I guess. Well, not the third one. I mean, the third one sucked. We just all know that. Like, I feel like I knew that coming out of the theater. That very few of these kind of movies do I know that coming out of the theaters. That one and Dark Knight Rises. But yeah, in general, I mean, we've talked about this. I don't like Spider-Man. I like this Spider-Man. And I think it's probably because it's a familiar flavor. He's MCU Spider-Man, and he feels like MCU. And all the MCU stuff is perfectly palatable.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it was fun to see it. And like I said, I think Abby liked it quite a bit more than I did.
I'm super into the new Doctor Strange, and I feel like this is an important stepping stone for that. So
I would say that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm still, I always said, you know, after phase three, I could, you know, hold back on what I want. And that's still true. But what I think it mostly comes down to is I'll see every MCU movie, but I probably won't bother to go out of my way to see them.
Sure. Like wait for some of them to be streaming and things.
Yeah. Well, and post COVID, there are some that I may go see in the theater because why not? And it'll be fun again and stuff. But yeah, for the most part, it's like, I'm not in a hurry. Mm-hmm. And I'm less worried about spoilers. I still would rather avoid them. But in the past, there were movies that were like, we have to see this because in a week, the whole fucking thing's going to get spoiled. And nowadays, it's like, if it happens, it happens.
Okay.
Are you like super crazy excited about The Batman?
I mean, we're gonna see it tomorrow.
Is it already out? Oh wow.
I mean, when I say tomorrow, we're recording early, so
yeah, this is Wednesday, so you mean it comes out Friday?
It comes out Friday, but around here you can see Friday releases on Thursday. I mean, I don't know why that is, okay. But it's always been true. You can always see a Friday release on Thursday here.
Because so. I don't like the Batman. We know this. I've seen 1,000 Batman movies. And I don't like the DCEU. But then somebody goes around and says, you know, it's not like other Batman movies quite so much. It's not. We don't spend a lot of Bruce Wayne time, and it's mostly like world's greatest detective kind of shit that just happens to be a dude dressing like what he thinks a bat looks like. And I was like, if ever there was a Batman movie that I'd want to see, that could be it. Again, I don't think I'll bother to go to the theater to see it, but like in general, like I'm not ever going to see Batman versus Superman. Is it Superman or Superman? I can't remember.
One pee, so.
And the other one poops. That was the original tagline.
I don't know.
But yeah, I am a little curious. We saw the third episode of Murderville, which is the Kumail episode of Murderville. And it was awesome. And I do want to give credit to Kumail. He was really good at it. But I think, to be fair, I also have to say, surprisingly, he and Will Arnett had stupidly good chemistry together. They just played really well off of each other, just right out of the gate. They would make like a fun sort of comedy duo, I think, which I did not particularly see coming because I don't think of them a similar style, really. But they did really well together. Anything else happened this week to you?
Not really. How about you?
I went to the eye doctor. I'm going to get new glasses.
Oh.
And I realized when I was picking out frames, I don't got no job no more. I don't got anybody I got to impress. I just make them for me. So they're different. You'll see them in a couple weeks here. They're not full on like hipster Buddy Holly glasses, but they are actual like non-metal frames and they are full frames. They're different.
Okay.
That'll be cool.
Do you say that? I mean, do you think people will not like them?
It's
but you wouldn't.
It's a departure from what I normally do. And they're
okay.
normally in the past, there was a little more trepidation about that. And it's sort of eased up as years have gone on. But now I'm just like, you know, if I pick ones that people hate, who the fuck cares?
Okay.
I mean, I walk around in a peach colored cat hoodie. So
what you described doesn't sound particularly, I mean, seems like people would be okay with them. And I know you don't care, but it also seems like they would be okay with them, but I don't know.
I, in my life, have definitely seen people that I'm like, those are some dumbass glasses. Now, I'm a good-hearted person, deep down. So I don't generally tell people that to their face, generally. Sometimes I do. But there is, I mean, I don't know if I can explain. There is a phenomenon wherein people get self-conscious about their fashion choices. And for a lot of people, especially depending on the style, glasses can be considered part of fashion.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
And I don't know. I've never been super risky in my glasses frames choice. I had phases earlier. I was very into sort of John Lennon round ones for a long time. And then this basic silhouette has been true for a decade or two. But yeah, these ones are shaped very differently and they're a different sort of frame. They are not previously something I would probably have gone for, but I think they'll be good.
Okay.
But mostly there's just that extra bit of like, I don't, well, and just in general, my whole fashion has been like, fuck it, I wear what I want. Not that it was particularly rough before, but I think at least subconsciously I gave some consideration to what will people at work think of this, or what will my boss think of this, or what if at some point I have to get a job other than this and I've got this face tattoo, but now I'm like, screw it. Yeah, I shaved the beard a few months ago. This is a tattoo.
Oh.
Yeah. I like the look of having a beard, but I don't like not having to shave my entire face every day. So this is the best of both worlds.
I'm trying to remember. Have I ever seen you without a beard?
You have not. You have not. I have not shaved off my beard since well before I met you. You've probably seen different styles. I have done like the Van Dyke, and I have done some that are thinner along here, but I've always had some sort of mustache and beard combo. I grew it when I was 16 for a play, and then I discovered I was a 16-year-old who could grow a full beard, and so fucked if I was going to go look back. And then one time in college, I decided to shave it to see what I looked like, and I shaved it and immediately started growing it back because I did not like what I looked like. And then in the summer of 98, I had to shave it to work at IHOP. And as soon as IHOP was done and I went to London, I grew back the beard. Those are the only times since I am 16 that I have not had a beard.
Hmm.
And they may be the only times ever, because I really like myself with my beard.
Okay.
Oh, I feel like there's a joke in here for like beard as a faux hetero partner for somebody pretending not to be gay, but I can't work it in there. But I really feel I was going to be like, and as long as I've got Trish, people will think I'm straight, or I don't know, but I couldn't. I couldn't make it work. So sorry. I like my beard and my wife. They are unrelated. It was funny though. Back in the day, my mother and my sister were very focused on, they thought I looked better without it. And in the early days of my relationship with Trish, they were like, don't you think he'd look better without it? And Trish is like, I have no idea. I've never seen his face. I genuinely cannot have an opinion on this. I don't know what's under there. Could be great. Could be terrible. I don't know. And that did shut them down pretty fast, because they were like, well, that's true, you don't. But email.
Okay, you don't have anything else to say about your week, huh?
Not really. I've been playing a lot of Final Fantasy. I did last night when I couldn't sleep. join a free company, finally. Free companies are what they call, like, guilds in Final Fantasy. Spontaneously, 1 a.m, some random person sends me a tell and is like, "Hi, I noticed you're not in free company, and I wondered if you were interested in one, in joining one." And I was like, "Well, I haven't, it hasn't been a big priority." And the real reason is because I mostly just play by myself. I'm like, but part of that was because I'm on the PlayStation 4 and I didn't have a keyboard, but now I do. And so maybe, and then he sent me an invite and then I was like, fuck it. And I joined, and this is a really big group and they seem nice. I don't know if it's going to matter, but I did it. So now I have to figure out all the social functions, which I'm not so great at on there. I'm still eating up that game. Unlike a lot of people, I've kind of paused on the main story so I can just do a ton of other shit. So I like paused and then I picked a whole new class and I've been raising that up. So now, besides being an Arcanist who's also a scholar and a summoner, I am now a marauder who has become a warrior. And on the side, I'm a weaver, a culinarian, a fisherman, and recently a botanist. And so that keeps me busy.
All right.
But it's fun. I really get satisfaction out of just going around and harvesting things from trees and bushes and stuff.
Okay.
It helps me because then I don't got to buy the shit myself to cook with, because some of the shit's expensive. I can just go harvest it. Well, also, I can make money off of it. But I don't know. There's just something very therapeutic and basic about, oh, it's a tree. Oh, I clicked a button. Oh, now I got this stuff. Okay, let's go to another one. Like, it's a very almost meditative process.
Sure. Sure.
I like being here. I might take up mining soon. I'm not as good at fishing. I think there's a patience involved in fishing that I have trouble with. Because they actually, I don't know how much you've done fishing in video games.
I mean, Abby has. She likes doing fishing in
video games. There is often low level reflex stuff at play. Either like it's a mini game where it's like, oh, keep the cursor between the thing, or like, you know, the fish is going to pull and you pull the trigger, except when you feel it shake and then you need to let the trigger go or else it's going to snap the line or whatever and stuff like that. And so it's never really relaxing per se, but this game is really good about it in that you've got a lot of things you can set up for it, but you just put it out in the water and then it makes a noise and there's a little thing over your head and you push the hook button and you don't control anything. It happens or doesn't happen based on numbers behind the scenes. So it is more relaxing, but there's still that it's the kinesthetic equivalent to I'm nervous around silence where I cast it out there and then I wait and I don't really do anything while I'm waiting and then I hook. Whereas with all these other ones, they're much more active. It's like I'm harvesting here. Okay, now we run somewhere else. So, but I'm glad I do it too. Fishing is fun. So we'll see. I still want to make my second character, who's little Lalafell named Nina Totenberg, but I haven't done that yet. I don't know why. I just love that idea. Because I started seeing they do not police the naming conventions at all. I have seen Bill Murray run around. I saw Kat Benatar. That was a nice one. They were a cat person, go figure. I saw Harry Potter spelled with 2 E's, and I don't think it was to avoid being in trouble. I'm guessing it's because somebody else already had Harry Potter spelled the regular way. And then I had one that was just very vulgar and gross. And it didn't technically have any swear words in it, but it was not pleasant. And that was when I knew, I'm like, oh, they don't give a shit. You can name whatever. And so I'm like, yeah. When for some reason, when I thought of 2 iconic names that you stick together, because you do a first and a last name, it's like Nina Totenberg. I'm going to make like a little, the Lalafell of these little, little tiny people, like little, like maybe a little pugilist named Nina Totenberg. I like it. I don't know why. I just like it. She's not that small in real life. I've seen pictures. She's not that small. But, and as far as I know, she doesn't box. But we'll see. All right, that's all I have. I really don't got nothing.
That seems pretty cool. I mean, I'm glad you talked about that. That was entertaining.
It is a fun game. It is a very fun game. I'm really enjoying it. I'm about to start paying subscription money for it, like any second now. Mm. They've been warning me. They're like, we're going to charge your card. I'm like, you do it. You got me hooked.
You know how we had Disney Plus because you were kind enough to gift it to us.
I did, because I want other people to be sucked in.
Well, now we have to pay for it.
I have done that to so many people.
We had to do that a couple days ago. We tried to go to Disney Plus and it said, you don't seem to be a subscriber. Like, out of the blue. They didn't warn us. They didn't say anything. It was like, we don't know you.
And this is the thing. Like, so many of these subscription things are like, here's a free trial or here's a gift or whatever. And you still have to put in a credit card. And it feels like bullshit. Because I'm like, yeah, so you're trying to. But what the few times it doesn't happen, you get caught off guard. He's like, what? Now they suddenly don't know who we are? What's happening? No, come back. So you're damned if you do, damned if you don't.
It was pretty funny.
Out of nervousness for when that happened in Final Fantasy, weeks ago, I put in my credit card. And I'm like, you won't have to charge me yet, but I just want it in there so I have no interruption in my service.
I mean, it didn't take any time at all to, you know, take care of
Disney
it or whatever.
Never waste time in taking your money.
But it was just funny how they acted like they didn't even know who
we were. Yeah. So we like that now, huh? You're just like, I don't even know them. Once my money runs out, when we
went in to renew or whatever, then I think they knew I had a password or something. So then they acted like they knew who I was.
Yeah. They're like, what? You got money? Oh, my friend, my buddy. Yeah, I was just joking before. And it sounded like you were poor and I pretended like we never met. No, you got money? We're good. You want a bundle? You want a bundle with ESPN and Hulu? I could give them a call.
We did not get a bundle.
We said I'm surprised at how much I use Hulu at this point.
I know, and everyone who uses Hulu tells me that, but we haven't used it. So
it was one of our last ones. It was one of our last ones. I cannot remember what made us. It wasn't the Disney Plus bundle, I don't think. I think we got it before then, but I can't remember why. What? No. I was going to say it was Simpsons, but it wasn't Simpsons. I don't remember why. But, and then to my surprise, I'm like, I use it a lot. I think it has the most close to what I would call current TV stuff. That may be some of it. I mean, I mostly watch it for Bob's Burgers and the current season of The Great North and Simpsons, but mostly Bob's Burgers. Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, I'm glad I could make you pay for that. I'm glad to help out.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for that.
All right. Read an email before they hang up on us.
All right, so this is from Mick.
I know him.
Who's been in Disney World because he often does that around his birthday, and his birthday is in late February. So he's been in Disney World.
And, you had a birthday recently too. Trying to slide that under the radar. You're what, 57 now?
53.
68, 102.
Yeah,
my birthday was a couple weeks ago. 53.
Yeah.
Like, that is, if you stretch it as far as possible, the last early 50s. Like, and it's pushing it. But you can get away with it. But next year, you could also say mid 50s. And I feel like three is the year that can sort of duel as both.
My brother texted me today because he realized that last year, Billy Joel celebrated 50 years of being in show business. If you count his first album, Cold Spring Harbor, in 1971, as his introduction to music.
And I'm betting you do.
Yeah, last year was 50 years. So he was in the store and he saw 50 years on like all of his albums or whatever. And his last album, the album that he retired on was River of Dreams. And next year that'll be 20 years old. So next year, his entire catalog will technically be oldies, I think. I think it's 20 years, isn't it? Or is it 25?
I bailed after Stormfront. Yeah, well, slash 25. The first car wreck, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, Stormfront was like 93 or something.
Yeah.
So it's a long time ago. So yeah, yep.
So there was an album before Glass Houses.
Well, yeah.
Did not know. I really thought Glass Houses was his first album.
Oh, no. Nope. He had before that. Let's see. Well, I'm not going to go through them all, but he had, I think, three or four before that.
Really? Interesting.
In 1971, he had Cold Spring Harbor, and he had Piano Man right after that.
Piano Man is pre-Glass Houses.
Yeah. Some people think it's his first album. They don't realize he had Cold Spring Harbor before that because... Cold Spring Harbor was recorded badly, like it was recorded fast, so he sounded like a chipmunk or something on it. So technically, awesome. It was the only reason people know about it was because it was remixed and re-released later. So for a long time, in a way, Piano Man was his first one. But I think,
in my head, it's always been Glass Houses, Piano Man, The Stranger, Stormfront. And then I knew there had to be some after that because I think We Didn't Start the Fire was on a different album.
Innocent Man was before
like it.
Innocent Man was before.
I don't even know Innocent Man.
Okay. Well, anyway. Billy Joel made my brother feel old. That
it's kind of like Sting and U2. Like, I liked a lot of their albums. I also am aware vaguely that they made 1,000 more that I've never fucking heard of.
Well, Billy Joel. I mean, he's one of the only artists who I've heard every single song they've recorded, like in an official recording.
Yeah.
I can't tell you why
you're a crazy fucker. Like, I can't tell you why he should have a restraining order out on
him. I've seen him in concert like 3 times where I rarely have gone to concerts in my life, but I have gone to others, but there's no artist I've seen more than once in concert except for Billy Joel. So, I mean, I guess you could say, you know, Billy Joel stands apart in as far as musical artists are concerned in terms of how many of his songs I've heard, how many of his albums I've actually owned, how many concerts I've been to. Yeah.
I knew he had more albums because I read a fantasy novel one time where his 11th album was a major plot point.
Yes. So, I know that. My book. Yes. That's another thing I did. Yes. I forgot about that. I forgot I put him in a piece of my
fiction. Oh, yeah. And even then I was not surprised at all.
Anyway,
no, but it's like same thing. Like Sting solo albums to me are Dream of the Blue Turtles, Soul Cages, 10 Summoner's Tales, and Mercury Falling, and that's it. That's all he's ever written. And I know that's not true. Oh, there's also whichever one had the Desert Rose song on it. That might have been Mercury Falling. I don't know, but like I'm sure he's had a billion more.
I think Mick and I went to Billy Joel's concert after he released The Bridge. I think that was in 86 or 87. I think Mick and I went to that together. Anyway, so this is Mick's email. Hi, Hat. Oh, he's talking to the hat. Not us, I guess. Got another British panel game show for Tony and William to play. It's called Would I Lie to You?
Good one. Good show.
In it, one person reads a fact.
You know that show as well.
Yeah, because my sister watched.
And because I made you watch the James A. Caster Cabbage Story and every damn Bob Mortimer that's ever been on.
In it, one person reads a fact that may or may not be true. Their opponents get to ask them a few minutes of questions about the fact, then gets to decide if it's truth or a big fat lie. So, Wranglers, think up an interesting and outlandish truth involving yourself or a very plausible fib, then see if you can fool your co-host into choosing wrong. Also, check out the show on YouTube to get the idea of how it works. I wish you good luck in playing, or do I? course, yes, we both know about this, so we don't have to
look it up. And again, you made a grievous error here in that we don't do things. What you should have done was individually sent each of us a story that you wrote, and then we could see if we could fool each other.
But I'm
assuming, and you correct me if I'm wrong, I'm assuming if you speak an untruth, your pituitary gland releases some sort of toxin.
No, I mean, if I'm playing a game, I can probably be pretty convincing with a
lie. Actually, yes. Again, because werewolf. Although but, I don't want to give you credit for lying in that one. I think we all lied to ourselves in that one. We were like, William couldn't be the werewolf to the degree that it's a physical impossibility for him to have randomly drawn that card. And then we were all fooled. But I, as you know, love lying, especially lying to you.
Yeah. But to come up with a convincing one that would be harder, I think, for me to do that. I'd need to prepare, probably.
There's a bit from an old OPCD that is talking about things that Hollywood movies make them seem really difficult, but they're not. And they talk about lying, and they're like, lying is the easiest thing in the world. For example, no, it isn't. No, it's like that one.
Yeah, I would. I think if I was playing this game and I had some time to make something up. But the thing is, for me personally, it's like you were just saying about werewolf. People make so many assumptions about me that are false. It would be easier for me to tell the truth and have people just say, there's no way that William did that. There's no way. Like, let's say that I'd never told that story about going to into a discotheque where the bathroom was unisex
in
Montreal or whatever. What if I told that story? Nobody would believe it.
I still don't believe it. Like, I believe the attempted to sell a recliner to a dead man story.
Well, yeah, that happened
but also. I don't believe the discotheque story. I'm uncertain about the funnel cake story. I just want it to be true so badly that I think I'm willing that it doesn't matter, and like that'll be a deal.
But yeah, if I'd never told that story before and told it for the first time, and the challenge was to see if for someone to think to say I was lying, I think people would think I was lying about that.
Yeah,
I do. So I could find stories like that.
But it gets tricky here because this is not a. The object of that game show is not to trick people into thinking you're actually lying when you're telling the truth, or that you're telling the truth when you're actually lying. The object of that game show is to entertain.
Oh, that's right. Sure, sure.
So, like,
tell a funny story.
Yeah, like, well, or just a crazy one or a good story. But like, it would be so easy to craft a lie that's just like, I'm going to tell a story about something that happened and change one crucial detail.
Sure. But I mean, like telling the story about the discotheque, that's rife with comedy gold in there. If I really thought about it and worked, workshopped it, it's like, I could make this funny. I'm sure I could.
And especially if I could remember. And I have seen, particularly from the Bob Mortimer one, it appears that the rules are the initial thing they read on the card is what you're saying. Like, was that true or was that a lie? Meanwhile, the details you can give don't have to be either. So that can be true, and you could give a bunch of insane details that are total lies.
Don't have to,
but that's still true. And yeah, sometimes, I mean, Bob Mortimer is just a weird guy with a weird life, but there are a couple of them that very clearly, like, that had to have been
like if I told the story and I tried to tell it in some funny way and I didn't happen to mention whether or not I used the bathroom, someone could say, well, did you use the bathroom while they were with it in there? I could just make up any answer I wanted that
absolutely.
I thought was funny.
Absolutely.
Wouldn't even matter.
Question. Well, okay. Setup question. Do you ever tell stories about like things that really happened for entertainment purposes?
Sure.
Okay. Do you ever change some of the details because it makes a better story?
I don't know. Nope, I don't do that. I mean, I might do it unconsciously or unintentionally. Sure.
And I think that happens. Sometimes the memory of something grows in our head or whatever.
Right. But if I stop for a second, I think, wow, this, if I told it like this, it would be better. I don't go ahead and tell it like that. I mean, you know, consciously knowing that I'm changing it significantly. No, I don't do that.
Mm-hmm. I do, but I haven't always. And it's been a very gradual thing because originally I would just tell the true story. And then I think I got to where I would sort of romanticize stories and let them embellish in my head unconsciously. And then I kind of got to a point where I said, I think I sort of let myself do that more, where I was like, wait, how did this go? Well, this way's funnier. So that's probably how it went. And nowadays I just straight up, I'm like, you know, saying it this way fits the flow of the story better and makes it funnier. So I'm just going with it. And it's, and no one who experienced this with me is within five states of here. So whatever. I don't know. In general, my relationship with honesty has changed over the years. Partially because of changes, I think, in me, but partially also because we're now in a world that has so many demonstrable examples of sort of there isn't always a truth. Sometimes it really is like a perspective, because I mean, political spin has become such a thing, and there's so many bits where it's like, I mean, there's also just fucking lying. There's plenty of that, but there's plenty where it's like, technically this is true, and what my opponent said is technically true too, but they're phrasing it in a way that these people will like. And the, and so my whole idea of like there's always a truth, I'm like, yeah. And more I'm very big on, you know, how do I put this? The nature of the story becomes a thing. I don't want to defraud someone. I don't want to mislead someone. But I'm like, what is the point of what I'm saying? Is it served by telling what I think is the objective truth or not? And I mean, the classic version of this is the white lie. And the nicer version of that is, I'm not technically telling a lie, but again, I will sort of say it in a way that I hope is easier on feelings and stuff like that. But as I get older, and especially when it comes to just stories for entertainment purposes, I'm like, you know, what makes a good story? Because often the actual situation isn't nearly as cool as it could have been if it was in something else.
Well, truth is,
beauty is not, and beauty truth
is not a simple thing in the first place. I mean, you know, people, a lot of times people will act like telling the truth or being honest is a simple, straightforward thing. And it is not. there's all kinds of ways to say something where it feels like you're speaking a factual, like an actual objective world, factual truth in your head. But to someone else, you've told the most scandalous lie. I mean, language is just not, doesn't work the way people like to think that it does, everything has this and only this definition. And the way I say it is the way everybody's going to understand it. So a person
and
who's
that's,
concerned.
That's with, dealing in a, something that's even concrete. When we get into anything of opinion.
Yeah, it's all out the window then. It's all out the window then. So, you know, anyone who's interested in expressing truth or being, having integrity so that, you know, there's consistency in how they express things. This is not an easy task at all. It's a huge challenge, and they often get it wrong, and not on purpose, but you can't help it because human language is not that precise, and nor should we ever want it to be, because it's kind of like what I like to compare language to is fighter jets. Fighter jets are actually
super excited for how this works.
Fighter jets are actually extremely unstable. I mean, they barely fly, but that instability is built into the system so that it can maneuver quickly, right? This is, language is the same way. It is not this stable, predictable, always the same thing kind of thing. But the reason it's so loose is so it can be flexible, and you can write poetry, and you can write songs, and you can write screenplays, and you can have turns of phrase that inspire a person and change their life forever. Language couldn't do that if it was so rigid and strictly defined. So it's a good thing that language is that way, but it's also a challenge, and people, you know, who want to treat language like this static thing, they're making a huge mistake, because language isn't like that.
I do love this metaphor, though, because you're right about language, but also language should really only be used by people who really know what they're doing. Because if you if you don't know what you're doing and you fuck it up just slightly, it's a huge explosion. People
That's right.
die. It's just the worst. So
you are correct. Really, the metaphor.
You need a lot of education and experience and responsibility and to be allowed to even get in the language, let alone do much with it. I mean,
see how useful the metaphor is?
And it's very and useful. It is remarkably expensive, and some would say over budgeted, to keep it going. And some say we have too much language and we should focus on some of our other issues instead. And there's a constant, everybody agrees we should have some language.
And also some people who are really
debate.
Also some people who are really good at it are very destructive.
Yeah. Being good at language does not mean you're necessarily a good person. It inordinately, the whole system inordinately favors white men. and the whole process changes a lot every time there's a new president. Like a lot.
Man, you're doing good with this. I'm proud of you, man.
I am digging this metaphor. I mean, an alternate universe version of you and I are making the script now for Top Gun, but it's language instead of fighter plane. Like, we are absolutely making that in a universe that's just next door, where we just have a little bit more oomph and willingness. We are totally making, yeah, and you can ride my tail anytime. It's about commas and shit. Yeah, no.
Yep.
That we nice. Are making that. Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Man, nobody runs with a metaphor like you do. That's like your specialty or something. I mean, I come up with them and you just run with them. That's great. You're really good at that.
I do. I love metaphors. I love metaphors. Well, and it ties into the whole bit playing. That's the easiest way to make a bit is somebody does a metaphor and then you're like, let's expand on this show. And you say you're terrible at it, but we've had ones that we volley. We've had a lot of ones that we volley back and forth more.
I guess that's kind of true.
But yeah, no, this is my mental health in general is learning that apparently the most important fucking thing in the world for my identity is that people see me as funny. I would rather than them see me as nice or smart or good or anything, they have to see me as funny. And I've got some issues with that, but we are now starting the experiment. I had my therapy yesterday and I'm going to go 2 weeks and we're going to see what happens.
Oh, you're going to skip a week. Okay.
Now, to be fair, I wanted to do this anyway, but this one, I don't have a choice because she won't be in town.
I see.
But I was meaning to do this anyway. So we will see. I have a lot of hope. We'll have to find out.
Good.
This is a thing I have a problem with. I historically was very much you need to always be very strictly honest. And I prided myself on that. and I tell a lot of lies these days, and a bunch of them are for joke purposes, and very frequently I have to make it clear that it is a lie when that's the case. But I tell others, and I think I really do, like, what is the impact of what I am saying? Like, if I am saying something that I think is going to influence another person's decision making, I need it to be as true as I can possibly make it.
Sure.
If I am saying something to make a person laugh or to comfort them potentially, or just sharing what I think are anecdotes about me or whatever, I'm much more loose with that. Or, and this is bad, I think, and I'm trying to articulate, this is something I struggle with in my head all the time to figure out, what are the fuck are my rules about this? Because I'm not sure. It's a gut thing. But if I think the truth doesn't convey what I want to say the same way, I will lie because I think that better makes my point. And again, not in a like arguing kind of way, or again, something that's going to like affect the decision somebody's made. I don't ever want to interfere with somebody's agency via misinformation. That's sort of my hard and fast ground level. I can't knowingly lie under that sort of circumstance. But there are times where I'm like, I guess I sort of fool myself almost, where I'm like, the perspective I'm trying to convey is not properly conveyed by what I think is the strict truth, and is better conveyed by this, which is a little different. Which means I'm probably lying to myself, and there's probably just huge hypocrisies in it, but it's one of those behaviors that I'm perfectly comfortable in doing, but when I stop and think about what the algorithm is, I don't actually know. But I will say, I lie plenty.
I mean, I tell stories, I mean, I make stuff up in circumstances, but I'm pretty sure the people who are in the circumstance know that's what I'm doing, either because I'll say so somehow, or it's just so stupid or absurd or whatever.
Yeah. And a lot of those. If I accidentally, it looks like somebody's buying into it, I'm like, you knew I would. or my version is really, I will pile on to the lie until it can't help but break over them.
And then right.
Like, sure. Wait, no.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, especially to kids, I'll make up stories, but I'm always looking for the kid to go, what? That's not true. That's what I'm going for, is for them to say that.
I have an ongoing retelling of a story of how the boy next door, we went fishing one time and he ate these two fingers. And this story has come up since he was like four. And initially it was like, no, I didn't. And then as it go on, he got this whole thing. Every time I did, he'd go, not again. And nowadays he's just sort of eye rolling. Nowadays he's like, yeah, I'll start to say, like, we went fishing. He's like, yeah. And I ate your fingers. And then I'm like, they grew back.
So you're waiting for the time when he's the age where he kind of yes ands. And pretty soon you guys are making a story.
We're there already. We're fucking there already.
That's cool. That's cool.
Because he's the comedian in his family. And I knew that from a very young age. Because well before they know how to tell jokes, you can tell they're the kid that's going to want to tell jokes.
Yeah, right.
And
right.
He and I already do that. And I like to think I'm training him because he's pretty good. But he tells his own joke. I mean, I told you I've told the classic one before. I'll tell again because it's a great story. I want to say three. And we are over at the house. And his older sibling needs money for a thing. It might have been brownies or some organization or a school thing or whatever, and they needed a certain amount of money, and they were going to take it out of this piggy bank that had all the coins in it. It's a big giraffe piggy bank. And so mom's working with the older kid there, and Trisha's sitting nearby, and the little one, who again is like three or whatever, he comes over to me. He's like, Tony, and he's real excited. I'm like, what? And he's trying to say something, but he keeps making himself laugh. And this is the thing, I do this to him now. I will make him laugh until he can't breathe. And I'm like, okay, I have to stop for a little bit so he can breathe, because he just loses his shit and tears are streaming. But he's like trying to, he's like, what? What? And he's like, I put something in the, and I'm like, what are you talking about? What are you saying? And then I hear the mom say, why is there a Cookie Crisp in here? And he fell over. He just falls over.
I think you have told that.
And then like eventually he's like, there's more. We're like, what? He's like, I put three of them in there. But this was the funniest thing. And we all died because it was a little coin slot and he just fit the Cookie Crisp right into the bank. And suddenly he remembered it when they were getting into the bank. And he's like, oh my God, I pulled this great joke. And one of my other nibblings when was younger, because we would do a lot of like dad jokes and stuff, because my father-in-law loves those kind of jokes. And so we would tell a lot of knock-knock jokes and things. And when he was really little, he wanted to do it. And so he would say, knock-knock.
Who's there?
Joke.
Joku.
Funny! That was his whole bit.
That's pretty good.
And it was awesome. We really loved it. But yeah, he did that one. He's mellowed a little bit, but yeah, the nibbling next door. I always say that I apparently had an affair with his mother that neither of us remember, because that kid is so like me. And one of the big ones is, yeah, he's very clearly the jokester. And so I'm trying to train him early. I'm trying to, you know, whiplash that shit. I'm like, were you leading or dragging? Were you leading or dragging? I get him focused, but no, I'm always lying about what his age is. I have so many nicknames for him. We have this whole elaborate story where his name is Cheesy Smalls and he sells me drugs. That's a big thing.
That's good. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I make up a lot of things. I constantly am trying to get him the perfect gift for his birthday or Christmas or whatever, which I tell him is a bucket of monkey poop. Mm. And sometimes I bring it. Sometimes I couldn't get a hold of bucket of monkey poop, things like that. We're workshopping.
Yeah, good. Good for you. You're a good role model.
See, you can lie just fine.
I just picture him graduating from high school and he's a valedictorian and he's telling his little stories and there people are laughing and he thanks you in particular for your inspiration.
That is the dream.
Yeah.
Because we don't got any kids to take care of us when we're old.
That's so right. Really, Jeff, this is all you got. You got to
do it.
Yep.
So, William, you go into shake his hand and you shake it real firm, but then you bring your other hand up on his forearm. What's that on your finger? It's the Gom Jabbar.
I did not even know what they were talking about, but I thought it was funny.
Oh, did you not? You saw a dude.
I know, but I don't remember that stuff.
I hope everyone has seen or read
Red Dune.
I think that it, actually Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is where it really got it. Who's that over there? It's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I don't know why that. Last night, I went back to Curse of Real Sword, and it's funny now because what I do is I don't look at the animation. I just close my eyes and I picture them the same way I picture them when I actually listen to the podcast. And that was kind of fun too, but sorry, people. This is genuinely just a bit for us. Too bad. This is what you get. I've been thinking about this and why we do this, and I feel like we're normalizing something because we're not. Good. We're not talented. We're not entertaining. We're just a couple of people who just hang out and we're going to share it with the internet. And I feel like there is a certain, like, if you want a podcast, you can just podcast. I hope we are open and honest so that the people who do listen are like, there are other people out there who are having the same problems, making the same mistakes, having the same weird shit. And I think that is something we can bring to podcasting that people who are famous or talented or try, can't do.
Or edit.
Or edit. That's under try. Because let's be honest, if I did it, I'd be trying to edit. I don't know that I'd succeed. But that, yeah, we're just normal people. And if you don't listen, we're going to switch to a Fisher Price podcast set that doesn't record so that we can say whatever we want and never
get live stream it. Yeah. Live stream it.
How, if I don't, they win. Who are they? That was another one for us. Yeah. In the meantime, keep writing in. We need all of the writing in. themagicaltalk@gmail.com. Go to the blog, talk there. We have fun talks there. Do it. Keep listening. Listen again next week. I'm not going to say buy my book, Odd Wings, by Anthony K. Parsons, that you can find on Smashwords, because I feel like everybody who's going to do that has done that. So what I'm going to say is tell other people in your life to buy my book. Even if you haven't read it, even if you hated it, tell them all it's wonderful and they should buy it. I want more people to buy it and read it and enjoy it, or mostly the first two. I don't really care about the third one. That's a lie. Actually, mostly the last two. I don't really care about the first one, but like, spread the word, because we know I won't bother. That's my slogan. I don't think we beat Quid Auto Line.
Probably not. No, that's a good one. I like it.
Gotta go. I want to do something about language and fighter jets, but I can't think of anything pithy.
Yeah. So.
And it's in there. It's if you missed it, rewind the episode. It is in there. Is a good part.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, if for some reason you just skipped over a chunk in the middle, one time, that was a bad call.
Yeah. Go back.
Normally, I get it. Like, you're like, somewhere around the 20-minute mark, I just fast forward a little bit. I get it. But this time, we had something.
No, that was pretty good. Yeah, you got to go back and listen to it.
All right. So yeah, come back next week and do all of those things and be a part of our truth movement.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.